This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hey, we have an international guest on the line. Well, he's local, but he's quite international. I'm speaking none other than magicianess. That sounded a bit like Hikaru, didn't it?
He should employ you to intro his show.
The magic of Ben Murphy. Hello, Ben.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thank you very well.
I think I'm speaking on behalf of Taryn and Hannah when I say we are good.
Well, look, speak for yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay?
Hang on.
Yeah, pretty good.
Ben, let's get into it. Let's get down to business. It's hard to get people out to a gig in Australia at the best of times. I hear time and time again people wanting to, you know, happy with numbers but wishing there were a few more. How much harder is it to get bums on seats at Illusion and magic shows locally?
I think certainly in Australia, to get people along to a magic show is quite difficult. Magic's not massive here in Australia as it is in Asia and the US. And I think Australians seem to have an idea that magicians are one way, and they're not aware that there's many types of magicians. You know, you've got the big dramatic illusionists that take it quite seriously, and then the sort of comedy illusionists that have a bit of fun with it and a lot more jokes and a lot more, you know, energy in the shows as well.
Yeah.
I mean, when you were just saying, when you guys are talking about it, then you go magic show. I'm imagining, you know,
magic.
I'm imagining 5-year-olds sitting around with crossed legs and, you know, pulling rabbits out of a hat and stuff. When you say illusionist and things like that, I mean, it conjures up such a much more adult sort of environment. I mean, do you consider it as a magic show, or it's an illusion event, or how would you describe what you do?
I'd probably describe what I do more an entertainment show that has magic and illusion in it. It's sort of, you know, you've got all the pretty girls getting cut in half. People floating in the air, all the sort of big stuff. But certainly more than children sitting on the floor cross-legged. you know, we perform for people all over the world. We've just performed for royalty in Malaysia. So, you know, we get, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are quite adults, that are quite into magic, and we certainly sort of try and tailor as much as we can for the adult market.
That's awesome.
Well, obviously, you know, you're an accomplished magician, but I understand that it is obviously quite hard to magic a crowd into your show. I mean, do you find it interesting that overseas you're a complete sellout? But, you know,
here's a sellout. And I'm probably not the right choice.
I've always thought you're a sellout,
Ben. No, but, like, I feel like a sellout is a good thing. I mean, but that's just me. But overseas, you're selling out shows. But here, you know, it's a little bit harder.
Yeah, I think there's two things with that. There's the fact that the Australians aren't massively into magic, which is a shame, because I think if Australians get it and actually see a magic show live, their perception will change.
Yeah.
But I think overseas too, having a lot more TV appearances and media outlets. And,
sure.
I think that really generates people's interest in shows.
Absolutely.
So, you know, not having much of a chance to get it in the public eye here in Australia, you know, people... It's hard to get people to see a product they don't know what it is.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. How did this start for you, Ben? Like, what did you do when you were younger that sort of kicked off the interest in magic?
Oh, well, I spent my first 12 years alive in and out of hospital. First 4 years I was in hospital the whole time, and then probably 3 to 4 months a year. And they had those sort of nurse doctors and clown doctors and things in the hospital that taught me a few little magic tricks. And that became my my coping mechanism for when I was dealing with pain and things. Mm. And I'd learn different magic tricks, and then I'd practice them, and I forced the nurses to watch me as they bandaged up my legs. Or they'd see the same trick over and over again, and I just got addicted to it that way.
Yeah,
and,
right.
Never done anything else. I absolutely love it.
Ben, people often cop a little bit of flack when they choose a line of work, perhaps, that has a different kind of interest to their peers. Is this something you experienced at some stage in your life as well? How do you push through that and work towards your goal or what you want to achieve?
Yeah, well, definitely. It's certainly an odd talk when you're telling your parents that you want to do magic tricks for a living. Mm. You know, people have their concerns, you know, you've got to pay the bills and all that sort of thing. But I think if there's anything you want to do in life, you just have to do it.
Sure.
You know, you can't, if it's in you, which magic and comedy and entertainment's in me, you can't do anything else. So you have to just, you know, find a way to make it work and get educated and really get it across and make it a full-time job.
Absolutely. Well, now let's talk stalkers, okay? dish the dirt. I mean, who's the biggest diehard you've been involved with?
I had one guy in America who he knew about me before I'd just arrived in America. And before I'd even got into my house where I was living, he'd found out the number and started calling me there, which was a
Wow. Wow. So call me maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
And call me definitely.
And then we rocked up to the theatre one day, and he was at the front door of the theatre. He bought his own chair.
Oh, wow.
And he was sitting there waiting to meet me, and he bought me a book on hypnosis.
Oh,
and
dear.
He was, really quite upset.
He was trying to hypnotise you.
Like, I would have met him for dinner, too. Yeah. It was pretty funny.
What big names have you worked with, Ben?
I've worked with Paul Osborne, who's not a massive name to the non-magic community, but he's the man behind the success of David Copperfield, Chris Angel.
Right.
He's a big producer, Siegfried Roy, and he designs a lot of illusions. So I've worked with him. I've had a lot of famous people come and see my show. And Chris Angel, who's a big American magician, my water tank that I escaped from, used to him. So, yeah, it was also used by Neil Patrick Harris in an episode of How I Met Your Mother.
Cool.
How do you cart this stuff around at your shows? Like, you've got some huge equipment, right?
yeah. Well, we've got a show that we're doing soon. We've got the 2 3-ton trucks filled with just illusions.
Wow.
So and a bunch of men and women working behind the scenes to get them on and off the stage. And so it's quite a lot of work. It's more than certainly just rocking up with a suitcase and a couple of packets of cards.
The preparation's always the big part of a show. Tell us about your upcoming show in Melbourne.
Oh, we've got a show next weekend, October the 6th, at the Clock Tower Centre in Mooney Ponds. It's going to be a fantastic show with all the pretty girls getting cut in half, people floating in the air.
I want to meet these half pretty girls.
Yeah, no, you'll love them.
Does that mean they're half? No, I won't say it. They're totally pretty, but in half.
Well, yeah, I use my half sister, so it helps to do the story.
The comedy comes free. Yay.
You've got a kick ass website, Ben, benmurphy.com.au. I'm guessing all the details of your next show are up on there.
Yeah, all the details are there, and you can also book directly online at clocktowercentre.com.au. So it's a fantastic show, and tickets are selling fast, so be sure to get in there and not miss out.
Ben, thank you so much. And for the listeners, your chance to win a double pass coming up very, very soon. I'll let you know how you can do that. Ben, thanks so much for joining us on Tuesday Brekkie.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
You're on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Melbourne's most uplifting station is about to take you to new heights. Joy 94.9.
19 minutes to 2, Paul Anthony with you. Someone else who takes you to new heights is an international illusionist. He's fast becoming one of the world's most popular and original entertainers. His unique blend of comedy, magic and illusion has been bringing audience to their feet right across the globe. He's breaking world records for the most escapes from the Chinese water torture cell, beating even Houdini himself. Huge following around the world, and he's sold over 300 shows in the US, making him the only Australian magician to have had a full season in America. Mystifying effects on TV. This guy's unbelievable. He's a friend of Joy 94.9. Please welcome Ben Murphy.
Hello, Paul. How are you, mate?
I'm good. Are you really there?
I am. Well, I'm not in the studio with you, unfortunately. We're currently in rehearsals doing some dangerous things as we speak.
Yes. Now, look, I've seen some of your acts and I've been watching some of your stuff on YouTube. Some of those things look pretty scary.
Yeah, some of them certainly are. We've just had a little bit of an accident this morning. We've got one illusion where we balance a girl on a spike, which is 2 metres in the air, and the spike is in the middle of her back, and she balances on that, and we spin her around a couple of times. And we've just had a few issues this morning on getting the girl up there, and she fell off once, and she's now got this big bruise up the side of her leg. So it's going well. hoping it all works in the night, it's some very dangerous stuff. So it's a great show.
Everything, I'm assuming, with magicians and illusions has to be quite timing. Are there ever times where you just can't get it right?
Yeah, definitely. Things go wrong consistently, but it's our jobs as entertainers to keep going and not let the audience know when something hasn't quite worked. Mm. But I also think that's part of the joy of coming out and seeing something live as opposed to watching it on TV. You're there watching the adrenaline, and you are watching, as much as there is a trick to it and there is a secret to it, we are doing some very dangerous things. And I think, like when people go to car races and that, it's part of the thrill on watching someone legitimately put their life at risk.
How much work would go into, or how many hours would go into just perfecting one illusion?
Usually we look at a minimum week's rehearsal per individual illusion. Sometimes a little bit longer, depending what the trick is, and sometimes a little bit shorter. But, usually sort of 4 to 5 days working on each individual trick.
And have you ever done something and went, oh, how'd I do that?
Well, usually with the smaller things, like small card tricks and that, you get to arrive in a place and you're just surprised that you got there so effortlessly. And you've been practicing and you're going, I can't get this quite right. And then somehow when you perform it, it just works.
It just works, yeah. Because a person doesn't sort of know what they're expecting anyway, so I guess they don't know if you've stuffed up in a way, do they?
No, that's right. The only way they know something's gone wrong is if we go, oh, bugger. That's not meant to happen.
Yes.
A couple of things, like you see a girl hop in a box and you see a blade come, you kind of get an idea that, okay, she's about to be cut in half. But we do have a lot of surprises in our shows. We like to bring people in where they think they know what's going to happen, and then we have a surprise twist on the end of a couple of tricks, which will just have people guessing, which is great fun.
The bar in being a magician or being an illusionist, how high does it get lifted each year? Is it getting harder to perform these or to actually, impress the audience?
I think it depends what you're doing. Our show is very much comedy-based, so we don't take the magic too seriously. So I think that we've got the comedy humour in there. People still enjoy our show and really get into it and find it quite refreshing to see a magic show that has lots of humour in it. Mm. So the magical effects are almost like a second to the show. It's more about the whole entertainment experience, which makes people, especially over in Asia and around the world, just keep coming back and back to our shows.
Can you remember when you did your first ever trick?
I do. I remember like it was yesterday. I was a little kid in hospital. I was quite an ill child. And they had those clown doctors that would come around and teach children things. And the first trick that I ever learned was this one where you had this little red piece of plastic, like a little drawer, and you show it empty, and then you magically make money appear in sort of the drawer. And it's the first magic trick I ever had.
So you went around collecting people's money.
Went around, I go, let me borrow 10 cents and I'll make it disappear. So.
Yes, yeah. Fantastic. So all these years later, did you think you'd be, breaking Houdini's records? And I mean, was that what you had in mind when you were growing up, that you wanted to be a world magician?
Well, definitely I wanted to be a world magician, but I never saw myself doing dangerous escapes. And to be over in America doing the Houdini Chinese water torture cell, and then to find out that I'd broken the world record with the most performances for that was just a complete trip out. It was something I didn't expect. It took me by surprise, and it was just amazing. But just to get on stage every night and do what I love is in itself amazing. And I want to go a lot further with what I do, but at the same time, I'm quite happy with traveling around the world doing what I'm currently doing.
Well, if you need me to carry some of your illusions for you, feel free to invite me along.
I'll keep that in mind, Paul.
Now you've got a show coming up on the weekend, but before we get into that show, is it true that this is your last show in Australia for a while?
Yeah, this is it's actually my first and only public show in Australia for this entire year. We've predominantly been overseas with our shows this year, and after this Saturday, which is our public show here for Melbourne, we're then back overseas again for the remainder of the year. So, so it has been a while since we've had a chance to do a show here in Oz.
How full on are the shows? Are they more... because there's lots of shows over in America, so is the competition stronger over there than it is here in Australia?
I think it's there's a lot more competition in America, but there's also a lot more people interested in magic over there. Where in Australia, magic isn't such a huge thing on people's radar. But that said, if you haven't ever seen an illusion show live, you really should come down on Saturday night and see that magic isn't all dramatic like a lot of other magicians. There is going to be lots of comedy, and we've got all the girls in the pretty feathers and costumes and lots of audience participation, and there really is some great night's entertainment.
What you're saying is you've got a lot of distractions.
Well, yeah, there's a little bit of that. Yeah.
All right. Well, tell me about what goes on this Saturday. What can I expect? If I'm going for the first time, what am I going to expect?
Expect a whole lot of laughs. Expect to be involved in the show in some way or another. There'll be impossible predictions made. There'll be girls balancing on swords 2 metres in the air. Vanishes, people appearing at the back of the audience. Stunning costumes. There's amazing costumes in the show. Projected backgrounds, laser lights, smoke. Maybe some mirrors, but we can't really talk about them because it gives away the secret. But it'll be a fantastic show. Lots of people up, people getting cut in half, and audience members even on stage helping me cut a lady in half, which hasn't been done in Australia before. So we like to involve people much. Cups and balls, the famous cups and balls trick, but we'll be doing that with a lady's head.
What?
So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. Really exciting show, and tickets are selling really fast. So if you haven't got yours already, be sure to get yours.
Yeah, you make it sound like, yeah, it's just cutting someone in half, just like it's a daily event.
Well, if you use your half-sister, it makes it a lot easier.
Oh, dear me. Oh, goodness. Get yourself across to see the amazing show when the cast perform unbelievable vanishes. You can gasp as the dancers are cut into 7 pieces, stretched 3 metres long, twisted up like tea towels and float in the air. You can be puzzled by the impossible escapes and dangerous illusions that you have on the edge of your seat. So gather your friends and your family. Don't wait. You can book now, clocktowercentre.com.au. Ben Murphy, all the best for your last show and have fun overseas.
Thank you very much, and I look forward to seeing everyone there. Have a great day, Paul.
No worries, you too.
Take care.
Ben Murphy there, the award-winning magician and illusionist.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.